Good morning. We are going to get started this morning. Welcome, welcome to all the post-council members, staff, visitors who are here with us. Want to welcome you all here today. We're going to excuse Chief Adams, who's not able to be with us today. We have a couple of other members who are en route and should be joining us soon, but we're gonna get started in their absence. First item of business on our agenda is approval of the December 3rd, 2025 minutes. I do have one addition to the minutes that I would like to recommend on the final matter before the council on the 3rd, the Tyler Young reconsideration. The minutes should indicate that both Chief Swanson and I recused ourselves from that matter. Other than that, everything in the minutes as I reviewed them looked good, but would like to entertain a motion for approval of those minutes. Thank you, Holly, seconded by Chief William. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? We'd like to turn now to Director Reese for some introductions and recognitions.
I'm going to go to the front for this.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Council. Wanted to come to the front. We have quite a few people to recognize and some changes with staff. To start off the top, I wanted to, I think you're all aware that Deputy Director Christian Newland took a position as Director over Communications for DPS, and he's no longer, that position's vacant. With the help of the council, who helped us select Lieutenant, our new Lieutenant over Investigations, Lieutenant Reed Motzkus, hopefully you're all aware there. I can tell you, most of these guys I can tell you a little bit about. Reed, I can tell you a lot about. He retired as a lieutenant with about 30 years experience from West Jordan, and then did some time out at UTA, and then we were able to bring him back over here at post as an investigator. And then Jacqueline retired, and Reed was identified as top candidate for new lieutenant. I'm happy to have him. So when he was at West Jordan, you know, he was responsible for revamping the training and IA division and bringing it under one standards and training division, a lot of experience in administration and internal investigations. So I think he'll be a big resource to you guys. We also, we've had two of our investigator sergeants take opportunities, Austin Obrey and Jonathan Boyd. Jonathan took a position as a sergeant up at the Capitol, and Austin took a position as a sergeant with SBI Major Crimes. That created two vacancies. So I want to thank them. They've been fantastic to have on our team, and also introduce our new team members. Sergeant David Hull from DPS came to us from Major Crimes at SBI. Dave, would you stand so they could see who you are? And also Sergeant Brian Hansen, also from Major Crimes at SBI. And we're fortunate to have both of those guys. And then also I want to welcome, we have a new attorney on our team who's replacing Marcus, who's also took a position as a director at BCI. And then I'd like to welcome Angela Mikolos. Some of you may know her. I've been fortunate enough to work with Angela for many years. When she was one of the lead prosecutors for Salt Lake County DA's office, and then she left there and went to the Board of Pardons and for many years, and then came back as a local prosecutor South Salt Lake, and we're happy to have her on our team. It brings a lot of experience. Also, we have a new council member, Chris Walden. From the AG's office, also many years of experience, UPD and other, and I think he started at Bountiful way back? West Bountiful, yeah. So welcome aboard. Chris is placing Captain, we're losing Captain John Crowley, and Captain, would you come up here? I'd like to just do a little presentation to you. Captain Crowley has been on the Post Council for 16 years, and is hanging up his hat. So just like to present you with this plaque of appreciation, just your time here. You know, 16 years get you this little plaque.
Perfect. It's almost like a gold watch.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And that's all I have.
Thank you, Director. On behalf of the council, I want to welcome all of those new staff members that are joining. We're glad that you're joining, and welcome Councilmember Walden. Glad that you're joining as well. And also want to take a minute myself to thank John Crowley for so many years of service to this council and for your wisdom and the work that you've done and all that you've added to the council. It's been great to be able to get to know you and to work with you, and you've added a lot to this group, and we really do appreciate it. So thank you so much, John.
Thank you. It's been an honor to serve on Post Council. Thank you. You do great work.
One thing I really did like is that we'd have some debates back and forth across this table, side to table, sheriffs, chiefs, and other stuff. But at the end of the day, we'd make good decisions. When we get out of the hallway, we're still professional commanders. Nobody ever took it personal. We just realized that this is what we've got to do, and there's some stuff we did, and everybody did a great job. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, John. All right, we're going to move now to our quarterly and yearly reports. So we'll turn the time over to Lieutenant Mokas and then to Lieutenant Buck.
Thank you, Council. I appreciate the opportunity to come out and share a little of our information and what we've been working on in the investigations and here at the at Post, and want to extend my appreciation to you and the service that you're providing as well. We're in the process, Lieutenant Buck and I, we've been in the process of trying to change how we're presenting our statistics to you to make them more valuable, easier to read, and less dry. So if you want to look in your packets, there should be the investigation side statistics that for you to look at. I'm going to touch on the highlights of it, a couple of the things, and if you would take some notes, if there's something that you would like us to add or take out, or something that would be valuable to you, we have statistics back to 2015, and if we're able to provide those statistics to you, please let us know, and we're planning on we'll be adjusting this over the next few councils and until we settle on something that is valuable and useful for you. So if we can look at this really quick. So this is our quarter that would start December 1st to the end of February, and we had 92 total complaints come in with 35 formal investigations that were opened. We also had in this time period, we also had 6 voluntary relinquishments, and we had 10 cases closed with no action. If we run over to the back with the applications, background reviews, and that those are handled by our techs and our investigators, and we did 396 basic training assessments and dispatcher and waiver reactivations, and so we, those involve going through and comparing information and deciding whether they should be allowed to attend the academy or not. So, and that's for our first quarter right now. If we go to the next slide, if you'll notice right now, this is what Post we've been working on the last couple years. You look at that first, our average days open cases now has been dropped down to 64 average days. When I came on a little over 2 years ago, I was assigned cases that were over 2 years old. It has been a very concerted effort by our Post investigators to really try and get the turnaround on these cases better. We set a goal for 180 days, and we've reached an average of 64 days, which is outstanding. I know when I was doing internal affairs, that was one of the things that was really frustrating from our standpoint. As somebody, we turned something in, it just took so long to turn around. So that is our goal, and if we can continue improving on that, we also, Sometimes it's out of our control how long the cases stay open, but for the most part, if we have control on it, we're going to try and get those cases completed and without losing or losing any of the thoroughness or the objectivity of these cases. So we're really proud of that number right there. Also, in 2025, one of our biggest, well, our biggest issue were integrity violations, and those integrity violations were basically Garrity violations, falsification of a government record, and falsification of applications, and that was our bulk of those. Also, last year, with the council actions, we did 15 revocations last year. Complaint conversions. So with the number, it's a little bit different because we started collecting our complaint information differently. A lot of you are probably aware we now have that dashboard where complaints can come in and you fill out online and send it to us. Before that opened up, we were collecting all the phone calls and a lot of different ways where complaints were coming in. We're no longer getting that. So our cases, we do 53% of our cases, or 53% of our complaints are becoming cases, and that number has risen, and we believe that's based on our numbers are a little different as far as how they're being collected now, as well as I think we're also seeing in the allegations and violations that we're seeing are becoming more severe as well. So we have a little bit of uptick. I've got another slide. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But our number one driver for our revocations were Garrity violations. If you'll take a look at this, this is the actions taken by council in 2025. Revocation was 19.5% of our cases. Our three-year suspensions, we were 5.2% of our cases. Two-year suspension was 7.8%, and our 15-month suspension we had 10% of those. And our letters of caution was 9.1%. Our indefinite suspensions were three of those cases, as well as it was 3.9%. And our three-month suspension was 16.9%, and less than a year was 10.4%, and our one-year suspensions were 16.9% of all of our cases. This is our average going back to 2015 of our time closures. You can kind of see how it was pretty high back in 2015, and then we also had an uptick around 2023. I came in right at the beginning of 2024, and that's when I was saying that I had the cases that were over 2 years old, and this is how much in that time period we've been able to bring our average case closure down to 64 average days. This is just a little bit of long-term statistical information as well, kind of going back to what I was talking about, where if you look at the far bottom right corner, where we had 393 complaints, in 2024, and we had a 39.2% opening rate, where now it's at 53%. Again, I think that's because we're filtering a lot of the non-complaints where we're getting phone calls and they just want to complain about something that's not really a post issue. We aren't gathering that data anymore. All of this data that we're collecting now is all from that dashboard that as people are filling out the complaints in that direction. So if this information is useful to you, please take a look at those statistic sheets that I gave you. If there's something that you like in that you would like to us to bring up, or if there is something that you're just not interested in, don't want to hear it anymore, please let us know. Please reach out to Lieutenant Buck or myself, and we'll make the adjustments and try and create the best product we can that will help you make your decisions. Do you have any questions that I can answer for you? Yes, sir.
I have a question. Is it possible for you to share those slides with the council?
Absolutely. How would you prefer? Would you like us to print them off? You want us to send them to you? We'll take care of that. Absolutely.
How are you guys sharing this information about the dashboard with agencies?
Sorry, say that again.
Sharing the information about the new dashboard How are you guys sharing that with all the agents?
Well, it's on our website, and when complaints are coming in or when we talk, sometimes we'll actually, if we get a phone call and it sounds like a good complaint, we will sometimes go in and assist them and enter it ourselves, and then we will grab all the information for their case. So word of mouth, I hope, and our post webpage guides it. Anybody that makes a complaint, gives some directions and also some guidance when making the complaint. Anything else? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lieutenant. That was a great presentation. It's very impressive. I appreciate it. And
thank you, sir.
Director, thanks for your leadership. Thanks for your team. I don't know if everybody understands how remarkable it is to get that case closure rate down to 64 days, but that's huge. Great, great work. Very much appreciated.
Thank
really
you.
Important.
Good morning. Thanks for allowing us to be here today. I reiterate what Lieutenant Mosca said, is if there is anything in our presentation that you care to know more information about or don't want to know more about, let us know. But we want to make sure the information that we're presenting is valuable to you as you're making your decisions. So beginning with quarter one for the Training Bureau, we've awarded 123 certifications, 8 LEO, SFO, and dispatcher certifications this first quarter from December to February. We currently have two sessions going on, one SFO, one LEO block here at the Academy, and there's 68 students cadets enrolled in those sessions. In the upcoming three academies, we have 101 cadets enrolled, but I anticipate in 394, because that just was posted, that will fill up as well. So I anticipate that we will have close to 150 cadets enrolled in these next three sessions moving forward. We've had 310 training hours and with 23 different types of classes offered in service and 23 waivers and reactivations this past quarter. We wanted to give you just a trend show you what has been going on in post over the last 11 years. So as you can see behind me, the trend of the number of graduates from the post academy itself, and this is just the post, this academy here in Sandy. But you can see that the trend is upward. In particular, the LEO blocks, since 2022, 44%, we've graduated 44% of the LEO certifications just from 2022 to 2025. So overall, we've had 2,985 total LEOs certified here at Post. But again, 44% of those were here since 2022. And then we've also offered 31,100 total in-service attendees over this 11-year period. Our in-service classes, and I'll go over a little bit more detail on that, have continued to grow over time. But again, just like our LEO certifications, it's really been in the last 5 years. These are our satellite academies. As you can see, I was talking to John this morning, and I appreciate him pointing something out. The one statistic here I have to be a little careful of, the SFO looks like it's grown, and it has, but you have to kind of combine that they also transition into BCO and LEO block as well. But bottom line is that SFO certifications have grown at the satellite academies, but so has the BCO block of the certification program over time. So far in 2025, the satellite academies awarded 1,554 certifications. We currently have 11 satellite academies existing. One of them is coming online, so taking that academy out, each academy averages about 155 certifications per academy. And then last but not least, our in-service training. I just want to point out some highlights. In 2015, we offered 114 classes. In 2025, we're at 146. In 2022, we had a high of attendance of 3,543 attendees. In 2023, we have gone up from 17 different topics that are offered in the in-service classes to 21 in 2023. And in 2025, we actually had 3,448 completions, which means you don't understand what happens. People start classes, but then they don't necessarily always finish. But in 2025, we actually had 3,448 complete the courses that they started in the in-service side of our training. So a lot of good things going on at Post. Please, again, let us know if there's anything else that you would like to know. We'd like to make sure that we'll give you what you need to make good decisions. Any questions for me? Thank you.
Thank you, Lieutenant Buck. Good presentation. Appreciate it. We'll move now to the quarter four curriculum update. John Jacobs.
Good morning, Council. Here to give you an update on curriculum activities last quarter. We met with our post-curriculum committee and went over in more detail of these items. The first one is the Foundations Program, we're calling it. That's our, has been referred to before as SFO Online, or having some type of online training experience before they come to the Academy. That is moving forward in development.
And we will have our first beta test of the first phase of that course happening here at Post in July. And then we'll be iterating that through the rest of the year. So we won't bring to you any curriculum changes this time with that. That'll be reserved for our kind of our June meeting where that typically happens. But that progress on developing a online foundations program is moving forward. And part of that is with the assistance of Weber State University, secured some internal grant funding to help in our development. And I'll let Dr. Swing kind of, if you want to just give them a quick introduction to that.
Yeah, so for those on the council that don't know me, I'm Dr. Molly Swain, Department Chair of Criminal Justice at Weber State. And so we are partnering with Post and secured a little bit of grant money from Weber State. So we're helping with and supporting this endeavor in three ways. One is we have WSU Online support. They're primarily focusing on instructional design, course development, and they're doing online best practices for online pedagogy. We secured some money for subject matter expertise. And so we are reviewing the curriculum for validity. Also, we have supportive curriculum development. They're mainly helping with rubrics. They are also helping with backward design and making sure that the online curriculum aligns with the face-to-face curriculum. I'm happy to flag any questions.
The next item is the defensive tactics. Here at Post has formed it for last year, has formed a focus group of police agencies, sheriff's departments, and state agencies. And they're working on developing a new delivery of the defensive tactics program, focused on a student-centered focused learning. And so currently they're working on different delivery strategies and also working on newer assessment strategies. And so that is currently being tested only here within our academies here at Post. And we'll be also bringing a curriculum change to you coming in the June when we vote for the annual curriculum. Any questions on that? You guys are easy. last couple items with the conclusion of legislative session, we're reviewing all the changes that happened to make sure that the curriculum is updated to the new laws that are going into effect. Two of them I'd like to bring attention to. It's in your folder. The first one is the traffic law curriculum. Once again, we won't be bringing a vote for this at this time, just your awareness of these two courses that have been changed. The traffic law is following some legislative changes that have happened and also input from our subject matter experts to conform to update that curriculum. And then the other item you'll find in there, all the changes are in red. So as you're flipping through a many page document of what our cadets learn, you'll see the changes in red. And the second item is the intoxilizer course. There's some pretty big sections there that have been updated. This is based on subject matter expert from our intoxilizer team to ensure that it's that curriculum is updated and working with current best practices for the intoxilizer certification program. So as you look at that, if there's any questions, I'll give you a minute. believe we're okay. They're mostly conforming changes and updating to current standards. So, okay. All right. Thank you, Director.
Thank you, Mr. Jacobs. That's appreciated. Dr. Sween, thank you to you and to Weber State for your participation in this. I think having Weber State's influence and assistance in this curriculum development is going to pay some great dividends, so I'm pretty excited about that. Thank you. Okay, next on our agenda will be the presentation of our disciplinary cases. So we'll turn the time over to Post Attorney Keenan Price.
Our first case is David Aguilar. He was employed by the Utah Department of Corrections. It was a Category C with a baseline of 2 years. Post is recommending an indefinite suspension with a minimum of 2 years. And he was separated from his agency on February 14th, 2025. Mr. Aguilar was convicted on January 10th, 2025, to threats of violence, a Class B misdemeanor. The charge stemmed from a domestic violence situation on or about November 27th, 2024. Subsequently, a court issued a sentencing protective order listed Aguilar as the defendant. The court order prevents Aguilar from using, possessing, or purchasing a firearm. Mr. Aguilar failed to respond to the notice of agency action on December 10th. 2025, and an order of default was signed by the administrative law judge and mailed to Mr. Aguilar.
Is Mr. Aguilar or counsel for Mr. Aguilar present? Seeing none, are there any questions for Post? Response.
Is the indefinite, does that have to do with the fit for duty?
No, so the indefinite portion would be related to the protective order. So the 2 years would be for the conviction for the Class B misdemeanor. Because there's no time in which the court could act on with that protective order, that's why it would be an indefinite suspension until that was lifted.
So just for clarity, that protective order is still in place.
Correct. Yes.
So potentially, if the council decides to suspend, it would be a minimum of 2 years or until that order was no longer in place. Is that how you're thinking that would work?
My interpretation would be that it would be indefinite, but no shorter than two years. No less than 2 years.
Okay. That information come to the council for a motion.
I'll make the motion that we follow the recommendations of a indefinite suspension based on the PO and no less than 2 years.
No less than 2 years from December 2nd of 24?
Yeah.
Mr. Very good.
I'll second.
We have a second from Mr. Peterson. Any discussion on the motion? Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion passes.
The next case before the Post Council is Jasmine Deloche. It was an assault, which was a Category C. The recommended baseline is 2 years, and Post is recommending 2 years. Ms. Deloche was an unemployed post-certified law enforcement officer and was criminally investigated for battery, a city ordinance. She was later charged with two counts of the offense. At the time of the notice, a pretrial conference was scheduled for January 2026. As a result of the incident, Ms. Deloche was administratively investigated by Post for assault. Based on Post's investigation, DeLosh was found through clear and convincing evidence to have committed the assault. Ms. DeLosh failed to respond to the notice of agency action, and on January 12, 2026, an order of default was signed by the administrative law judge.
Ms. DeLosh, would you like to address the council?
Yes, sir. There was an incident that was downtown. I took full responsibility for what happened. I was not working at the time. I had left West Jordan PD a couple months prior, maybe 2 months prior. And this has been an ongoing thing with this individual. And she approached me and I asked her multiple times to please step away from me. And she would not. And it got to the point she was spitting in my face. And so I did push her out of my face. And when she came back, I pushed her again out of my face. So that was the incident that happened. I'm still currently going to court on it. I have a court proceeding in like about, I think, a week and a half. I have an attorney and we are fighting it due to the fact that she kept approaching me and coming to me. And so I am dealing with my attorney with it. And I have court on, I believe, the 27th or the 28th, somewhere around there, 26th, 27th. I'd have to check my calendar, but I have court in like a week and a half on it, and it's going to trial.
Thank you. Thank you for being here today. Do we have any questions for Ms. DeLosh or for Post? Seeing none, we'll bring it to the council for a motion.
Thank you.
Mr. Walker.
And the outcome of the trial? Is that a possibility or no?
So with the default, she's required to meet to the next post-council. It's supposed to be set on this, the next closest post-council.
And that's because of the order of default.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe just a reminder, a point of discussion. Generally, the council takes action on the behavior rather than the result of the criminal procedure. There are many cases that we handle that for various reasons don't get prosecuted or don't get prosecuted successfully, and we have always taken the stand that we sanction based on the behavior, not the conviction.
And by the default, the notice of agency action is not true.
So still looking for a motion.
You know, if I may, yes, I would add that to help us with the timelines on some of these, unless we think it's going to interfere or cause the officer problems at a criminal case, we're moving forward, just because we have so little control, and that can be a very long process. So rather than Post standing by on our duties, we've been moving forward on these. But if we have conversations with the officers or the officers' team, and it's a serious enough case, we think it could cause problems, we won't. But on most of them, we're moving forward now. So it's a good question. Thanks, Mayor.
One more question. When would this start, where she was unemployed at the time when the incident happened on August 25th? When would that suspension start?
So from today.
Today. Thank you, right?
Yeah. Mr. Mutter, did you have a question?
Yeah, the Category C baseline is 2 year, range is 9 months to 3.5 years. Sorry, it's been a minute since I've been here. So the baseline 2 years is the average, essentially, right? Okay.
I did have a question for you guys. When I sat in with Post and I did an interview with Post and we went over everything that happened, they did state that if it was suspended, that it would be from the day that I left West Jordan, that it wasn't, from my understanding, that it would be from the day that I was unemployed with West Jordan because I wasn't working at the time. They said that it would start at that point, the 2 years would, if I was prolonged for 2 years. Is that correct, or?
So, here.
If an officer is not employed, they may receive credit and time served from the date of involvement in the conduct or conviction, whichever is later.
So because the conviction hasn't happened yet, it would have to be from today, because the conduct occurred after her unemployment, not while she was employed.
So the suspension would be from today, but according to the guidelines, she could be given credit from the time since it occurred. Is that how you're reading that?
From the date of the conduct or date of conviction, whichever is later.
So the conduct was August of 25, so potentially the suspension by motion could be from, she could be given credit from that date forward. Sheriff Wimmer.
When did you resign from West York?
I don't have the exact date. I could get it if I need
roughly.
To. Do you mind if I look?
Well, roughly.
It's towards the end of summer. Towards the end of summer.
Okay.
Probably end of July, beginning of August. Probably around July.
And August 25th, 2025 was the date of the offense.
I'm going to take a stab at this. So I'll make the motion that we go with an 18-month suspension from the date of the incident, which is August 25th, and that would fall in line with the metrics of a Category C.
Then we have a motion for an 18-month suspension beginning on August 25th of 25. Do we have a second? Second from Mayor Walker. Is there any discussion on that motion? Are all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? That motion passes.
Right. The next matter before the council is the certification of Dayton Dickinson. The offense was engaging in sexual conduct while on duty by transmitting a sexual image. This is a Category E with a guideline baseline of 6 months, and POST is recommending 6 months. Dayton Dickinson, a POST-certified law enforcement officer, was administratively investigated by his agency. The investigation found Dickinson engaged in sexual conduct on duty. Dickinson was suspended for 2 days without pay and removed from his detective position. During a post-Garrity interview, Dickinson admitted to sending the sexual images on two different occasions while he was on duty. Mr. Dickinson failed to respond to the notice of agency action on January 26, 2026. An order of default was signed by the administrative law judge.
Mr. Dickinson, the president, would you like to speak to the council?
Yes, please.
Yes, please stand at the podium.
Hello, I am Dayton Dickinson. We're with the Washington City Police Department. I appreciate your time today. I come to hopefully provide valuable information on your decision here and take responsibility for my actions. So for the past almost 9 years that I've been an officer, I've worked very hard to build a career and protect and serve the citizens of Washington City. And that's demonstrated by earning a position on the Metro SWAT team down there as a sniper. I was put in the Washington County Drug Task Force as a detective. I was also a member of the tactical unit with the U.S. Marshals, the VFAS team. And I bring that today to just really show you how truly humbling this this mistake has been for me. When this took place last year, 2025, I had to really show my honesty and integrity, and show full cooperation to the administration of Washington City, where I gave an honest, true testimony and statements towards them. I also did an interview with the Washington County Attorney's Office, gave full and truthful statements to them, as well as to the POST investigator, to which essentially without my full honesty and cooperation and owning my mistakes, there essentially wasn't other evidence that was held against me for these offenses. So this is me saying, hey, look, I truly was fully honest and humbled by my mistake, take full responsibility for that, and communicated that with the post investigator. So as a result of this mistake, I have been dishonorably removed from the SWAT team and lost that position in that assignment. I was removed as a detective from the task force and reassigned back to patrol. Was also removed from the VFAS tactical team as well. And essentially the past 9 years of hard work and effort that I put in my law enforcement career has been taken away and truly put me in a different perspective of how to learn and move forward from this mistake. On top of that, I have been on administrative leave for 102 days now, and that has been an emotional roller coaster of learning and growing as a person from those mistakes. So I hope you guys received Chief Williams' letter of recommendation. I've worked my whole career with him, and he truly knows my character and my ability as an individual and officer to hold that badge and successfully move forward and have a successful career. So again, I come to you today taking responsibility of my actions, showing my full cooperation, and hoping that we can move forward with some understanding on that.
Questions?
Yes.
A couple of them. Did anyone else get a letter? Did Post get a letter from his chief?
I can speak to that.
Post initially did receive a letter, but then the chief recanted that letter later.
Okay. And the 102 days that you've been on administrative leave, is that with or without pay?
So that was with pay, but then I still had the additional 2 days suspension without pay.
Okay. So I'm just a little confused about that. So you have not served the 2 day suspension because you've been on leave for that entire time, or can you just clarify that for us a little bit?
Yeah, so initially it was put on an 11-day administrative leave while the IA was conducted. Once the IA was completed by my agency, that's when I served my 2 day suspension. I went back to patrol, served another few months on patrol. I actually earned Employee of the Month by Washington City during that time before I was placed back on leave on December 16th.
And why were you placed back on leave?
Because the Washington County Attorney's Office requested that I be put on leave.
Any other questions for Mr. Dickinson?
Sure.
Do you know why they would ask for you to be?
Yes. So essentially, because of this incident, it trickled down from the AUSAs and down below where I was, without my knowledge, placed on the Brady list with the county attorney's office, to which I was able to appeal. And so I was going through that appeal process with the county attorney's office, and while going through that process, they asked that I be put on leave. So,
and you remain on leave today? Are you still on
yes.
leave? Yes. Any further questions for Mr. Dickinson or for Post?
Why is that a Brady issue?
Obviously, there's no one here to speak for that, for the attorneys that issued that, so not sure that we can consider that issue. I think that probably the easiest path forward, if the council decides to suggest a suspension, that it would be from today with credit given for whatever the total amount of administrative leave has been. We may need to rely on post investigators to go back and calculate that for us. Does that make sense? So looking for a motion from the council.
I'll make a motion to what you just said.
Okay, so would that be
6 months, and then have post investigators calculate the total amount of administrative leave.
Let's do that right
now.
Would you
say
from the December 14th?
Another
16. 16.
Well, but he did leave before that.
It'd be another 78 days from today. Mm-hmm. He's been off for 102 now altogether. 6 months would be 180 days.
I was initially put on leave in July when the initial IA was initiated.
Yes.
So if he gets the 2 days unpaid suspension plus the 11 days he was on leave, that would give him 13 days. So if we went from December 3rd, 6 months from there.
Thank you.
What happened to the 102 days?
That's the 102 days is from the 16th to the day. So if you start six months on December 3rd, then the math becomes correct.
Thank you. I'm going to have to take off my shoes. Yeah.
So then your motion would be for 6 months of suspension beginning December 3rd of 2025.
Correct.
Do we have a second for that motion?
Second.
Sheriff Wimmer seconds the motion. Any discussion on that motion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
And are there any opposed? Thank you.
The next matter before the council is the certification of Jose Farias from the West Valley City Police Department. His year, he served 8.25 years, and the offense was a dishonesty in violation of agency policy. This was a Category E. The guideline base or the baseline is 6 months, and POST is recommending 6 months. Jose Farias, a POST-certified law enforcement officer with the West Valley City Police Department, was administratively investigated by city officials for several potential policy violations. Farias was ultimately found to have violated several policies, including the city's policy pertaining to dishonesty. Officers with West Valley City Police Department were required to abide by said policy. Farias' employment with the agency was subsequently terminated, and his case was referred to POST. POST later found, through clear and convincing evidence, that Farias violated the city's policy pertaining to dishonesty. On January 22, 2026, Farias waived his right to a hearing before the administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Thank you. Appears Mr. Farias and counsel is present. Would you like to address?
Hi. So the reason I'm here is first and foremost to take accountability for why I was separated from West Valley PD because of a lie. The nature of this was there was a coworker who was romantically interested in me. Ultimately, she couldn't get her way with me and became upset at me. Wrote 4 pages about how I was a horrible person. And I was basically dragged into an HR investigation that was voluntary. No admonitions were given. We were just talking with HR about if I spread rumors about a female in the department. Did not. My agency says that I most likely did, but I did not. Ultimately, they asked me about my personal relationships with females in the department. Uncomfortable questions about my sex life, and I was extremely uncomfortable, and I didn't want to implicate females in the department, and I did not disclose their identities. Later, including the person who accused me, which I thought I was, you know, not trying to implicate. I didn't know after the fact. I was in a voluntary meeting, and I did not say her name to not get her involved. My department's HR found me to be dishonest about that. I admitted yes because of that. Later, I was taken into an IA investigation. I was admonished about being truthful. I've never been in an HR meeting before, but I knew, you know, I have to say what I have to say, the truth. Ultimately, my agency fired me because of a dishonesty violation, not so much about the rumors that someone was spreading about a female. That was not me, but I was terminated, and I was put on suspension. They suspended me or relieved me July 14th of 2025. I believe that HR painted an unfair picture about me, but nonetheless, I'm here to take accountability for what I did tell HR and not disclosing fully these females who were in a way closer to me romantically more than what I admitted to HR. That's why West Valley fired me. I don't think it was a fair process, but I'm here to take accountability for it. I want to get back into the profession as soon as possible. I've been unemployed. I was doing an okay job, I believe, with actual police-related work, not other dramas. I feel like I was doing a good job. I like what I do. I love what I do, and I want to get back to it for serve the people. And I'm hoping that I could get a letter of caution rather than a 6-month suspension, because I'd like to get rehired by an agency eventually. And I think that is all I have to say about the matter. Any questions about it are welcome. Thank you.
Counselor, did you wish to speak? Any questions for Mr. Ferris or for Post? In that case, we'll come to the council for a motion.
Just one quick question. So he's on admin leave on July 14th. Was he on leave the entire time until termination?
Yes, I was. They took my car, my laptop, my gun, everything July 14th. I was at home, 2025.
Sheriff Lamar.
I'll make the motion we accept Post's recommendation of a 6-month suspension.
Beginning
7/14. Last time we was able to do law enforcement.
I think it actually goes back to July 14th.
So the motion is to accept Post's recommendation for a 6-month suspension beginning when he was placed on admin leave, July 14th of 2025. Do we have a second for that motion? Dr. Sween? Any discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that motion passes.
The next matter before the council is the certification of Kendu Givens. Mr. Givens was employed by the Kaysville Police Department and served for 11 years. The offense was property damage and domestic violence in the presence of a child. This was a Category C with a baseline of 2 years. Post is recommending 1.5 years. Mr. Givens was investigated by a local police agency for property damage or destruction and domestic violence in the presence of a child. The investigation discovered that Givens was engaged in a verbal argument with his wife. During the argument, both Givens and his wife were recording the argument. Givens took his wife's cell phone and broke it. Givens had 2 juvenile children, and both children were in the room at the time he broke the cell phone. There were no criminal charges filed. During a Garrity interview with his agency, Givens admitted that he hit the phone out of his wife's hand and broke it to prevent her from recording their argument. Givens admitted that his children were present during the argument. Givens did not participate in the post-investigation. On January 8, 2026, a hearing was held before the administrative law judge. The administrative law judge subsequently issued findings of facts and conclusions of law, stating that Givens violated 53.6.211 as outlined in the notice of agency action.
Thank you, Counselor. Are you representing Mr. Givens?
Hello, my name is Jason Sweat. I am representing Mr. Givens. He was planning on being here, but was unable to because of a family emergency. Just to convey a little bit about Mr. Givens can do, he was a detective there at Kaysville, actually investigating the very kind of issues that he found himself embattled in. And so he wanted to make sure he conveyed that he is remorseful he couldn't be here. He really planned on coming in and standing before you, and he'd ask for any sort of leniency that you could see in his sort of matter. The facts are as sort of outlined with some issues with sort of the charges as they were initially written up by Post that were amended in the ALJ hearing. Not super important to get into, but it did result in some, it was not sort of investigated. It was really hinging on the property value of the item in play and whether that was investigated at the time or not, and sort of came to the conclusion that there was some value, but maybe not as much as initially thought. So he would just ask for any sort of grace that can be allowed in his case. Of course, a year and a half is the recommended. He would ask for down to a letter of caution, if at all possible, so that he could resume his career. Thank you.
I do have one question for Post. So the baseline for Category C is 2 years. We're not showing any mitigating circumstances, but we are showing some aggravating. I'm just curious about the downward recommendation from the 2 years.
This was a director decision to go to 1.5 years. I think there was a question with the value of the phone, which is why he wanted to go down to 1.5 years based on the notes that I have. So.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions for Mr. Givens' attorney or for Post? And we're looking for a motion.
I'll make the motion to accept Post guidelines for a year and a half.
Sheriff Curtis motions to accept Post's recommendation of a year and a half suspension.
Just got to add to from the date of
that'll be from January 19th of 2025. We have a second. Second from Mayor Walker. Have any discussion on that motion? Dr. Sweet?
I'd just like to point out that I'm not in full support of the downward deviation. I'm not entirely seeing the mitigating circumstances, so I would propose that we do the baseline minimum of 2 years. So that's just my discussion point.
Would you like to make that an alternative motion?
It's a discussion. How do others feel about that?
I guess the only reason that was my question earlier was about the year and a half, the downward deviation. If it was just the value changes the charges, and that's why there's that recommendation.
So, Counselor?
Apologies. Just, I might have put a thought in everybody's mind that the value of the phone was the primary driver with that. The recommendation was that before we got into the value question in the ALJ hearing, so I don't want that to be perceived as the rationale for the post recommendation. Just as a quick aside, I'm sorry I mentioned that in that context, and I hope it's not confusing you. Ultimately, that was important for Mr. Kendu's defense in the ALJ hearing because there was a charge issued a certain way, and the idea was that if this charge doesn't stand, then, of course, the presence of the children can't exist because the initial charge didn't exist because it wasn't filed correctly by post. The ALJ elected to find enough information there that it happened, regardless of the way it was charged by post, and so that was why I think that the ALJ sustained it. But as far as the downward deviation, that was recommended prior to going to the ALJ hearing. So the discussion of the value of the phone wasn't, I don't think, tied to that, just to put a very clear point on it.
Can I interject? I'm more confused by what you just said.
Go ahead. The notice of agency action was for a Class A misdemeanor for breaking the phone. and Class B misdemeanor for domestic violence in presence of a child. The value of the phone that was alleged in the notice of agency action was $800. The ALJ did not find that the phone was valued over the Class A threshold of $500, but did find it had value, so it was, the ALJ sustained a Class B criminal mischief, not the Class A that was originally charged.
I think it's B to C, just for clarity, but that's it.
So he, instead of having an A and a B, he has two Bs for the findings of the ALJ.
And my thought on this also was, as far as whether we have an aggravator or not with two offenses, I don't know that I agree with aggravating something that one action equals two, while it equals two offenses, I don't think that equals an aggravator. You know, yes, there's two offenses in that one action because it happened in front of the children, but typically we look at somebody who does something multiple times as an aggravator, and I think that was one of my factors.
Category C would be the correct category for a Class B misdemeanor. Ms. Runner?
It's involving violence, which is the two-year baseline, because it's DV in front of a child, correct?
No, I don't think that violence, because if it's violent, then we would be probably going for revocation because he would no longer be able to carry a firearm. So it's property damage.
Category C is engaged in conduct, which is a straight criminal offense, the Class B, and which involves violence.
Domestic violence in the presence of a child. Is that not violence?
Yes, by definition.
So it appears that category C is the proper category for us to be considering in this matter, and the baseline for category C is 2-year suspension. We do have a motion on the table to accept post recommendation of 1.5 years. So is there further discussion, or anyone want to make an alternate motion?
Substitute motion.
Just a discussion.
Okay. Any further discussion on the motion to issue a 1.5-year suspension beginning January 19th of 2025? Okay, all in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Yeah, motion carries. Yes.
The next matter before the council is a certification of Keith Holmes. He was employed by the West Valley City Police Department and had 15 years of service. The offense was falsification or alteration of a government record and dishonesty in violation of an agency policy. It is a Category D with a baseline of 1 year. 1 year. Post is recommending 1.5 years. Officer Keith Holmes, a West Valley City Police officer, was administratively investigated for falsifying the record, and his employment was subsequently terminated from West Valley. The investigation disclosed Holmes submitted and signed 2 West Valley City forms and Google Maps as per city policy. The documents were for the purpose of being granted permission to use a city vehicle for commuting to and from work. Per policy, officers being granted permission must live within a 35-mile road miles distance. Officers living outside of the distance range were not allowed take-home vehicles. Holmes lived outside of the mileage restriction. The forms and maps submitted and signed by Holmes had been altered to make it appear as though he had lived within the distance restrictions. The maps and city form distances did not reflect the actual distance. The maps were presented in a manner that would make the reader believe that the distance from Holmes' residence and city boundaries were within the 35-mile distance and measured by surface streets. During the Garrity interview with Post, Holmes admitted that he knew he lived outside the 35 miles and still submitted records that indicated he lived within the mileage. Holmes maintains that he was granted an exception to measure the distance as the crow flies. Holmes claimed he did not understand technology and relied on others outside of the police department chain of command to create the maps. On November 19, 2025, a hearing was held before the administrative law judge. The administrative law judge, law judge subsequently issued findings of fact and conclusions of law stating Holmes violated 53.6.211 as outlined in the notice of agency action.
Mr. Holmes present. There's counsel is here for him.
He is not. Jason Sweat again. I also represent Mr. Holmes. He couldn't be here. He wanted to be. And so I would just sort of repeat what I said earlier, not because it's the same trite statement, but that he also genuinely wanted to be here and wanted to face you and take accountability in person for the situation. I think that is it.
Any questions for Mr. Holmes' counsel or for Post?
How far outside of the 35 was he actually?
It was 41 miles by road or distance, and it was 36 miles by crow flies.
Not correct, actually. I can speak to that. So we didn't stipulate the facts. We went through the ALJ hearing process. West Valley's process doesn't actually, West Valley's policy doesn't say 35 road miles. It's a two-part process where you submit a Google map, that has to be Google, with the form that you fill out. And so you put the values in accordingly. Keith Holmes' address is from the border of the city is actually just a shade under 35 miles, crow flies, still today. And that was verified by Post investigators and the agency investigators as they were doing the investigation. In fact, he wasn't found to have violated that policy. He was found to have violated the dishonesty policy by the falsification because the information on his maps was not correct. It was edited by other people that he was relying on to submit them. He didn't know how to check it, and somebody actually, without his knowledge, edited one of the mileage numbers with software and then give it to him to give to his agency, which he didn't know, but he also did not verify. And I think that was the basis for their finding. So he actually does live within the 35 miles of the crow flies, which, again, there's a lot of facts here that are probably not super helpful, but just because you asked, he had been in a hiring blitz some time ago. His initial form was submitted in 2018. At that time, the chief, the DC, and everybody had been trying to get individuals to start working there, and so he was given an exception to how to calculate it by crow flies as opposed to surface miles. Even though the policy doesn't specify surface miles, the fact that you have to submit a Google map showing it, it routes by surface miles more organically, I guess I would say. And so that was part of his problem. But he did submit a fat form, incorrect, showing incorrect mileage, but it was approved in 2018 by not only his supervisor, but also the city manager at the time, and it was fine for years. And then in 2023, when they were updating their form and their review, that's when he had to go through it again. And at that point, he was scrutinized more carefully, and it became an issue, like, I don't know how to do this, and the information on it is incorrect, and so forth. And that second one's when somebody actually physically altered it. So a lot of context for it. As far as it goes, he did submit a form with incorrect information, and that's what Post is looking at here that his agency found, and that was what he was found to have violated. But he was not found by his agency or Post to have violated the 35-mile the mileage policy, the vehicle reimbursement part of it. So for what it's worth, that seemed paradoxical to me when I started getting involved in this matter, because, you know, if he's not violating the initial policy, then the form submission confusion based on an exemption that existed that the city didn't have any way to document and the chief that came in didn't really know about, I didn't think that was okay. But anyway.
The council is required to accept the ALJ's findings of fact, which are provided and written, that he knowingly submitted CAFs and maps containing materially false mileage and information to his employing agency in 2015 and 2023, and that he engaged in conduct constituting falsification of a government record in violation of 768511 and 536211.
Right, and I didn't need to try to substitute the ALJ's findings. It's just that we disputed them, and of course, you asked the questions exactly centered on that dispute, so apologies.
Thank you. Any further questions for Post or for Mr. Holmes' counsel? Okay, then we'll be looking for a motion on this matter.
I'll make a motion.
Chief Lawson?
I'll make a motion that we go with Post's recommendation of 1.5-year suspension starting on 11/28/23.
Second, Chief Swanson. Mayor Walker
has a second. Any discussion on the motion to accept Post's recommendation?
I'd like to recuse myself.
Okay.
Ms. Williams will recuse herself. Any further discussion on the motion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? That motion passes.
The next matter before the council is a certification of Curtis Hutchinson. He was employed by the Pleasant Grove Police Department and had 2 years of service. The offense was possession or use of a controlled substance, a category D. The baseline is 1 year, and POST is recommending 1.5 years. The aggravating circumstances were that a prescription was required and that there were multiple occurrences. During the employment process for a law enforcement position, Curtis Hutchinson disclosed on the background history statement that he had used a steroid without a prescription. Hutchinson said he used oxalandrone, also known as Anavar, shortly after receiving his SFO certification 2 years ago. Anavar is a Schedule III drug which requires a prescription. Hutchinson did not and has not since received a prescription for the drug. Hutchinson is a paramedic and had earned his certification to become a SWAT medic. Hutchinson took the steroid to improve his strength and conditioning, but did not see the expected results, so he discontinued use of it only after one cycle. Hutchinson disclosed that the use of the controlled substance on his background questionnaire and provided additional information during a Garrity interview with his agency. On February 5th, 2026, Hutchinson waived his right to a hearing before the administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action. He was terminated from his agency on March 2nd, 2026.
It appears Mr. Hutchinson is here with counsel.
Yes, sir. Members of the council, given the nature of the allegations, my client...
Sorry, would you mind just stating your name for the recording?
Absolutely. Zachariah Becerra, bar number 18313, for Mr. Hutchinson, who's present to my side.
Thank you.
Given the nature of the allegations, my client has requested that I speak for him at this proceeding. He wishes me to convey his gratitude to this council for your service and his regrets for the necessity of these proceedings. I'd like to clarify a couple of things. It was asserted just now that my client was terminated by his agency on March 2nd. That is incorrect. My client voluntarily resigned on that same date, but for reasons completely unrelated to the investigation that's currently before POST. The reasons for his departure had to do with him being placed on administrative leave for an unrelated matter involving his mental health. And as a result of those proceedings, my client almost immediately resigned because he objected to being placed on administrative leave. So for clarity, he was not terminated from his agency. This is a matter that deserves some additional information as well, the nature of my client's employment. He's been employed full-time as a firefighter since approximately 2019. He's been with Pleasant Grove Fire Department for several years. He has also worked as a medic and an operator for the Utah County Metro SWAT team. During that time, while he's been employed by Pleasant Grove, he received his certification in 2023, as previously stated. Since that time, he's worked as an ancillary to that SWAT team. The Pleasant Grove Police Department, a sister agency obviously, holds his certification and is his conduit essentially into that role in law enforcement. So as a result of the his self-reporting, which I know this council has previously considered as a mitigator in other circumstances, I would say that those are mitigating circumstances, his self-reporting. After he's self-reported, the Pleasant Grove Police Department, which holds his certification, initiated an investigation. In the course of that investigation, they conducted Garrity interviews, and the outcome of that investigation was a recommendation that he receive a letter of caution, which was issued to him. Pleasant Grove Fire Department also reviewed the outcomes of those investigations and decided to take no action against my client. So to date, he has received a letter of caution from his agency, from the agency that holds the certification, but he has not been terminated, and no other proceedings have been undertaken against him at Fire Department. And he no longer works there because he resigned for unrelated reasons. Having clarified all of those things, some background on my client I think is appropriate. These are not necessarily mitigators as previously considered by this post council, but I do believe that context is important in circumstances such as this. My client was raised in a law enforcement family. His father was a police officer, and it's been his goal his entire adult life to become a police officer. He began his career in public service as a firefighter, but very quickly looked for an opportunity to enter POST, and with the sponsorship of the agency of Pleasant Grove Police Department, he received his POST certification back in 2023. As to the nature of the allegations against him, my client's conduct was not intended for personal gain, and it wasn't for his personal pleasure either. Notwithstanding the impressive figure you see before you, he's not actually a bodybuilder. He's a firefighter, and the physical demands of his job as a firefighter, as well as an operator and medic for the SWAT team to which he was attached, are extreme. Given that nature and the physical demands of his career, physical fitness is a paramount concern to him, and especially to the firefighting agency that he was primarily employed with. And he regrets his conduct. This was misguided. It was a mistake. As far as the repeated occurrences, I want to make sure that everyone understands. For multiple occurrences, we're talking about a single cycle of performance-enhancing drugs. We're not talking about serial cycles or a long-term usage of any of these kinds of compounds. He was operating out of an earnest desire to push through a difficult plateau he was having with his weight training and with recovery. And he self-reported his conduct. As he was seeking further law enforcement employment, he knew that he needed to be forthright and honest. Since he did self-report, he has voluntarily cooperated with Garrity interviews at his home agency and has also taken steps to accept responsibility for his conduct. His earnest desire is that he be allowed to return to his career in public service as quickly as possible. The current recommendation of 1.5 years considers the nature of the allegations against him and the fact that this was not a single isolated act. But it does not also include the information that this was a self-report and that my client was acting in earnest when he reported this information and cooperated with investigators. My client is a good man. He's a good man and he's a good public servant. And I believe that I would add my voice to that he deserves an opportunity to atone by returning to his career in public service. And with that, we're ready for questions from the council.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Mr. Hutchinson's attorney? Sheriff
Warner? Question I have is, you say he self-reported, but he didn't self-report to the agency in which he worked at, right? He was in seeking employment elsewhere, correct?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so the way his current employer discovered was the other agency reported it.
The agency that he was seeking.
He was seeking.
That's right.
Okay.
Yes, that's correct.
Mayor Walker.
How did he acquire the drug?
That's a good question, Your Honor. Apologies. Force of habit. I'm a criminal defense attorney primarily. If you don't mind, I'll continue to refer to you as Your Honor. Given the nature of the allegations against my client, even though there have been no criminal proceedings initiated against him, we can't answer this question at that time. I apologize.
Just
a question for Post. If an individual uses steroids, is that a one-year wait or is that a two-year wait to get into Post?
I'm not sure. Do you guys know off the top of your head?
It's a one-year wait.
I think so.
If a person uses steroids,
correct,
and they want to enter Post, they have to
because
wait.
It's
1 year.
I believe it's a Class B misdemeanor. Falls in line with marijuana use as well.
That's what I thought.
Class B misdemeanor.
Just wanted to clarify that. That's why I'm asking, why is it 1.5 versus a 1 year?
That would be only for a single use, though.
But if this goes back to November of 2023,
sorry,
almost 2.5 years ago.
So to answer that question, while it is one cycle, it is multiple uses within that cycle, and that's where the aggravator comes from. If it was one use of the steroid once.
Right, but if it was marijuana use, under the same principle, you're going to go off the last use. You don't count the multiple uses. When we make an officer wait a year because they've used marijuana, we go off the last date of use. They could have used it 10 times.
So right. The question was the date of use, not necessarily to the aggravator.
Right, but my point is if we make an officer that self-reports wait a year, in my opinion, maybe we should be making this individual wait a year like we would anyone else. We don't count 10 uses of marijuana before someone enters post. We make them wait 1 year from the date of use.
Any other questions for post?
So the upward deviation is because of the multiple uses within the cycle.
Correct.
Otherwise, it'd be a year. Correct? The baseline?
Yeah, the baseline for a Category D would be 1 year.
And to further clarify, Chief Swanson, it's 1 year if you're not certified. Once you are certified, then the aggravator takes effect.
To me, what aggravates it, you know, someone looking to seek to become an officer is in a little different, in my mind. We have a little different expectation of them than someone currently working in this field that should know better.
Absolutely. So, absolutely. I guess my understanding was that he was seeking certification. Because this happened in... No, he was certified in 2023.
He was certified in 2023. Okay. Yeah. And he was seeking full-time law enforcement employment in 2025.
Okay. And we do hold certified officers to a higher standard, right? That is part of what...
Was he being allowed to act as an officer, even though he's still with the fire department, right? But is he going out and riding, patrolling? When do we have that start? I mean, we kind of run into that same issue. It's like being on admin leave, but he's not allowed to act as an officer on his own. He has to go with the team. Is that the way I'm understanding it?
He doesn't get to go out and patrol. He doesn't do any of that. His regular assignment's with the fire department as a medic, and the only time he gets out to actually have to use his law enforcement certification is when
he's attached to SWAT.
When he's attached to SWAT.
That's right.
Were you restricted from participating with SWAT prior to your resignation earlier this month?
Thank you. Again, I was placed on admin leave for a case not at all revolving around post at all. It was a mental health concern that was reported to them. When I was placed on that leave, January 26th, I was also restricted from operating as a SWAT officer at that time.
But between the initial investigation beginning in October of last year and that time, he was still in his full role.
Full capacity. Any further questions? Okay, thank you. To the council for a motion.
Recuse myself.
Chief William will recuse himself.
I have a motion. I'll move to pass that we deviate to a 1 year suspension from the last use.
Okay. Mayor Walker makes a motion to not accept post recommendation, but rather to issue a 1 year suspension. And I guess the question for the motion is then, when would that?
From the last use, the end.
So generally in these kinds of things, we go from when they are unable to operate as a law enforcement officer, which appears to have been January 26th of 26, when you were placed on admin leave.
Yes, sir. That works for me. My
good?
Includes that. Yeah. That question, I don't even know if I can ask this question because I don't know if we can consider it. But something was just brought up that makes me think about fit for duty and whether or not we can consider an indefinite suspension based on what I just heard. Or can we not consider that?
Can I comment on that, sir?
Would you hold on for just a minute, please? Let us. So I believe it would not be appropriate for us to consider that. It is not something that's been noticed to the officers, not part of the notice that's before us or the action that's before us at this point. So we do have a motion, and we have a second from Mr. Walden, and that is for a 1 year suspension beginning January 26th of 26. Do we have any discussion on that motion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed?
Aye.
We have one opposed, Sheriff Warner. Okay, thank you. That motion passes.
Thank you. Thank you. The next matter before the council is a certification of William Kenner. He was employed by Cottonwood Heights Police Department and South Salt Lake Police Department, and he had 3.5 years of service.
The offense was falsification of a government record. It is a Category D with a baseline of 1 year, and POST is recommending 1.5 years. William Kenner, a POST-certified law enforcement officer with the Cottonwood Heights Police Department, was administratively investigated for one count of dishonesty in violation of the department policy. He was also investigated for multiple counts of falsification of a government record that pertained to two separate criminal incidences. As a result of the investigation, Cottonwood Heights found that Kenner committed the allegations. He subsequently resigned from the agency in lieu of termination. Kenner was later referred to POST. POST was unable to show through clear and convincing evidence that Kenner was dishonest in violation of Cottonwood Heights policy. It was also unable to show that Kenner falsified a report for one of the incidents in question. POST was, however, able to show that Kenner falsified two reports pertaining to other incidences. On December 24, 2025, Kenner waived his right to a hearing before the administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Thank you. Here's Mr. Kenner is here with counsel. Would you like to address?
I would. I appreciate the time here in front of the counsel here. Can I pull my phone up? I have some written words here. I want to begin by accepting the full responsibility for the shortcoming in my conduct and reporting in this matter. Law enforcement is a profession held to the highest ethical and professional standards, and on this occasion, I failed to meet those. I fully recognize the seriousness of the lapse of the potential impact it had on the integrity of the investigation and involved parties. I would like to provide the involved parties and the public trust in the profession. I would like to provide additional context to my supplemental report that is documented for one of the counts of falsification of a government record. My supplemental report that has a little bit more details summarizing that post report you just heard. The following discussion that I had with the lead detective after the first investigation, I returned to the store to the follow-up, and I did document in my first report with my follow-up, I did document that Brooklyn was pushed in this case. I acknowledge that this phrasing was poorly worded and imprecise. What I intended to clarify was the following sentence that was also on my supplemental report. Was the loss prevention officers attempted to stop the shoplifter, but the individual repeatedly stated, keep distance, and the subject then passed the loss prevention personnel without any physical force being used and fled the scene. My purpose in conducting the documenting this follow-up was to ensure accuracy and fairness to protect the involved arrestees from being charged with the offense that they did not commit. And to correct any misrepresentations in my original report statements that was confusing for the other officers and lead detectives. I have never acted in malice with any intent to disgrace the name of the peace officers community. Throughout the time in this profession, I have spoken highly of the field and cherish the communities that I have been able to serve. Even in the relatively short period of time, I have been privileged to do so and met some amazing, great people. And unfortunately, I get to meet some of you guys here, but in a bad moment. This experience has been a significant learning opportunity of my career. I have shared my story openly, humbly, with fellow officers in training settings and informal discussion, hoping that they might learn from my mistake and avoid similar errors so they don't have to stand where I am as I am today. I've dedicated considerable time by studying relevant case law and improving my report writing skills to ensure greater precision and professionalism moving forward. I currently work in youth services at the Salt Lake Detention Center, where I interact with young people who have committed some pretty serious crimes. I model accountability by showing them my own humble experience and being able to teach them with what accountability is, as I am here today. I like to treat every single one of them with dignity and the utmost respect, as we do in this field as peace officers. I do want to give you a timeline of events that is kind of confusing, where it says Cottonwood Heights police officer in the South Salt Lake Police Department. I was placed on administrative leave from Cottonwood Heights Police Department on April 1st, 2025. I remained on administrative leave until I resigned on May 13th, 2025 in lieu of termination. After recognizing that this might proceed into some further investigation with POST, I kept in contact with the administration. During the 5 months off period before going to South Salt Lake, I worked in a different field of line. I asked multiple officers, administration, and the chief of Cottonwood Heights if I could graciously have them as references, and they agreed. I applied for South Salt Lake, and during that time, I went through a thorough background investigation in which I fully disclosed the incident, and after After conclusion with consultation with the Cottonwood Heights, I was hired by South Salt Lake Department, and I was sworn on August 19th, 2025. While I was at South Salt Lake, I worked closely with the community and maintained exemplary record and was also recommended for a life-saving award. I was notified of the post-investigation on October 7th, 2025, and continued my duties until I resigned on November 17th, 2025, shortly after my post-interview. In order to address this matter fully before continuing any police officer role. In the light of above, I respectfully request that the board considers crediting the time from the placement of administrative leave with Cottonwood Heights, April 1st, 2025, through my hiring with South Salt Lake, August 19th, 2025, and from my resignation there on November 17th, 2025, to the present, as we are here today. Toward any suspension period, I sincerely goal is to return to service as a peace officer with South Salt Lake Department as soon as possible, where I can continue contributing positively in the community and with the lessons that I've learned and be able to learn and teach my lessons. I'm profoundly grateful for the consideration of the statements, and it's important to work the council does to uphold the standards for our profession, and I appreciate everything that you guys do on a daily basis.
Mr. Sweat, did you wish to speak?
Surely. Jason Sweat, also supporting Mr. Keener here today. Just for clarity, because he went over that last part a little quickly, he had no knowledge of any sort of post issue, left his first job, got a second job, and so I think he's asking is to credit that time, even though it's not from the last job separation, because these incidents and things pertain to Cottonwood Heights time. Alternatively, and I'll just check with him, I think a request would be sort of to deviate downward to a year, perhaps, because great love of the profession and a desire to get back into it as soon as possible. So either of those paths would, I guess, kind of put him in the same place, but I just want to clarify that as you're contemplating. If there's such a desire to sort of credit or deviate, I know it's a little bit complicated because he stopped being a law enforcement officer fully, then started again, but this is tied to that first position, and his time that he separated was due to that. So just putting that out there for consideration.
Is that correct?
Hey, any questions for Mr. Kenner or his counselor?
Just a quick clarifying question from Post, because you're aggravating it, you got two counts, so I just want to make sure I'm clear, because it's been a couple days since I read this. So one of the lies is from his original report, and then he lied again in a supplemental report, or is it two lies in one report?
There are two separate reports, sir. One is the initial report, and then the supplemental report that followed that.
Thank you.
Any additional questions? Sheriff, what, Curtis?
Was there anybody charged or received any, arrest or anything based on the reports?
From my acknowledgement, no, I declined. The detective wanted to press those charges, and I declined them. I said, do not press those charges.
Any further questions? Then we'll be come back to the council for a motion. So somebody check me if I'm correct, but it sounds like the period of time from his original administrative leave until he was rehired by South Salt Lake Police Department was about 4 months and 19 days.
3 months and 4 days.
It would have been from that would have been from the termination, but does that sound right? 4 months and 19 days.
If we calculate from April 1st, 2025, which he stated was the date of admin leave, until August 18, 2025, the computer tells me that's 139 days, and then starting from November 17, 2025 to today, that is 121 days. I come up with a total of 260 days as of today so far that he has not acted as a law enforcement. So if the suspension started July 1st, 2025, that should give him credit for the 260 days he was not serving as a law enforcement during this time. That's what you want to
say that last part again. If the suspension.
So if you want to give him credit for the admin leave.
250 days.
From April 1st until he was hired at South Salt Lake, that's 139 days. And then when he resigned in lieu of termination from South Salt Lake until today, that's another 121 days. So if we subtract 260 days from today's date, that would be July 1st, 2025.
Sure. I'll make a motion to go with the 1.5 year suspension with the credit. For time served, going back to July 1, 2025.
Second. So that seems a little complicated to me. Because normally we move forward and give credit for when the suspension ends, not when it starts. That makes sense? To anybody besides me? So it seems like the suspension would have started 11/17 of 25, moving forward from there for the... Yeah,
just
for the year and a half.
260 days from a year and a half and go with that.
Yeah. So you want to do what's remaining of 1 year and a half from today's date?
Yes. Okay. I think that keeps us more consistent with what we generally do. Well, actually, it would be from 11/17 of 25. So what's remaining of a year and a half suspension? From his final date of resignation. You've not acted as a peace officer since November 25th of 25, is that correct?
No, and I'm not strong in math. That's why I went into the profession that I went into. But just to be clear, if it runs from the 17th, a full year and a half, then there will be no crediting for the first period of not being in law enforcement. Is that what you're saying?
Correct, but that's not what we're calculating right now. The suspension would start November 17th of 25, run for a year and a half minus the 250 days to find the end date.
I'm gonna make a motion.
Okay.
Just to make this easy.
I've got a motion that we go with a 1 year suspension starting from 11/17/25.
Second.
I like that.
Sheriff Swanson makes it one.
I'm a sheriff now.
Sorry, Chief Swanson. You should be proud. Chief Swanson makes a motion for a 1 year suspension beginning
11/17/25.
And we have a second by Sheriff Wimmer. Any discussion on that motion? Okay, we have a substitute.
No, that was a substitute motion. Yeah. Just for
thank
the
you.
Record.
Sorry, substitute motion.
Just to keep it
thank
clear.
You. Substitute motion. That's the motion on the table. Now, any discussion about that motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you.
Sorry for making you think so hard.
Yeah, thank you. I know that made it difficult.
The next matter before the council is a certification of Troy Curling from the Lone Peak Police Department. The offense was a grammar violation. There were aggravating circumstances in that it was multiple offenses. It was an outside agency record with dissemination to the subject of an ongoing investigation. It's a Category E with a baseline of 6 months. Post is recommending 1 year. Officer Troy Curling, a post-certified law enforcement with the Lone Peak Police Department, was investigated by his agency for multiple policy violations. Their investigation discovered Curling had disseminated CAD information for multiple calls, accessed a Lehigh Police Department incident report, and had made a copy of his on-body camera recording of a taser incident and disseminated it. Curling disseminated information from a restricted database to multiple people. Curling was terminated as a result of the policy violations. No criminal violations were pursued. Curling participated in a post-Garrity interview on December 2, 2025. Curling admitted to disseminating the protected government record. Curling had attended two training courses involving the dissemination of protected records. He also admitted to reading department policy and procedures and acknowledging that he had read them and understood them. The post-investigation discovered clear and convincing evidence that Curling knowingly and intentionally disseminated protected government records. On January 3, 2026, Curling waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the Notice of Agency Action.
Mr. Curling, would you like to address this body?
If I may, yeah.
Yes, please.
First off, I'd like to apologize meeting everybody under these circumstances. I'd like to apologize to my agency. It was somewhere I enjoyed very deeply. With regards to the disclosures of CAD calls and body-worn camera, I will admit that it is conduct that I observed from other officers. I thought it was okay as long as certain things weren't met as far as personal information or addresses, anything like that, similar to listening to a police scanner, but I was wrong, and I accept that I was wrong. With regards to the individual that brought us together, he was made aware that he was trespassed and keep the peace was served. I did have some ongoing concerns regarding what it was about, as I had met both the owner and the employees of that place of business. Once I saw what the case had become, it was kept as a keep the peace trespass until that individual was arrested and charged. All I have. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for being here today. Any questions for Mr. Curling or for Post? Chief William is recusing himself in this matter. I'm looking for a motion.
Motion to approve the Post recommendation.
Thank you, Mayor Walker. Motion to approve Post recommendation for a 1-year suspension, which would begin on February 27th of 25.
So it's done. I'll second that motion.
And we have a second from Chief Swanson.
And that's March 13, 25, so we'll start.
Any discussion on that motion? So effectively, the suspension would have run and would be up. Any other discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion passes.
Thank you, everybody.
The next matter before the council is a certification of Herbert Lewis, of the Washington County Sheriff's Office. He had a service time of 4.5 months. I apologize for the error in there. He had a dishonesty in violation of agency policy. The category is an E with a baseline of 6 months. Post is recommending a letter of caution. Herbert Lewis, a certified corrections officer with the Washington County Sheriff's Office, was administratively investigated for being dishonest in violation of department policy. The investigation stemmed from an incident where Lewis was working in the control room when he failed to respond to the alerts to open doors, phone calls, and radio traffic. When Lewis was asked by a supervisor, he was unresponsive. Lewis was dishonest with his explanation. Lewis was found by his agency to have been dishonest in violation of department policy. During a post-Garrity interview, Lewis admitted that he was dishonest because he was embarrassed. On February 10, 2026, Lewis waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the agency notice.
Thank you. Is Mr. Lewis or counsel for Mr. Lewis present? Appears not. Are there any questions then for Post? Okay, then we'll be looking for a motion.
Recommendation of letter of caution.
Keith Willem, motions to accept the post recommendation of letter of caution. Got a second by David Peterson. Any discussion on the motion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
The next matter before the council is a certification of Kaylin Livingston of the Utah Highway Patrol. She had a service of 2 years, and the offense was dishonesty in violation of an agency policy. It's a Category E with a baseline of 6 months. Post is recommending 6 months. On April 13, 2025, Trooper Livingston crashed her patrol vehicle on I-80 due to falling asleep at the wheel. In the immediate aftermath, she provided inconsistent and false statements to her supervisors, dispatch, and other deputies, initially claiming she swerved to avoid debris and that a semi-truck was involved. During subsequent interviews with supervisors, she continued to deny falling asleep and claiming not to remember her initial statements until finally admitting the truth in a Garrity interview on June 9, 2025. She admitted during this interview to fabricating these details out of fear of disciplinary action, as it was her second at-fault crash in a short period of time. During a Garrity interview with Post, Livingston admitted to being dishonest with her supervisors and subsequently with other department administrators until confronted with evidence. On December 17, 2025, a hearing was held before the administrative law judge. The administrative law judge subsequently issued findings of fact and conclusions of law stating Livingston violated 53.6.2.11 as outlined in her notice of agency action.
Thank you. Appears Ms. Livingston is here. Would you like to speak to the council?
Yes, please. So I'm Kaylin Livingston. So I was involved in the crash. I received a severe concussion from the crash. I'm still going to a brain specialist to this day, trying to get my headaches and dizziness and everything under control and figured out of what is still causing the injuries. What I did was wrong, and I'm here to take full responsibility of it and move forward in my law enforcement career. I love what I'm doing. I was a hardworking trooper, and this is not who I am, and I'm here to fix it. So, thank you.
Colonel Hawley will be recusing himself. Are there any questions for Ms. Livingston or for Post? Seeing none, be looking for a motion on the matter. Thank you.
I would motion that we go with Post's recommendation of 6 month suspension, starting with her admin leave, which was August 26, 25, which again would mean the suspension is up.
Thank you, Chief Swanson. So the motion is for 6 month suspension beginning on August 26th to 25. Do we have a second? Second. Sheriff Curtis, any discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes.
The next matter before the council is a certification of Lonnie Martinez. He was employed by the Salt Lake City Police Department and had 28 years of service. The offense was electronic communication harassment. It's a Category D with a baseline of 1 year. Post is recommending 1.5 years because of the multiple offenses. Lonnie Martinez, a post-certified law enforcement officer with the Salt Lake City Police Department, was criminally and administratively investigated for electronic communication harassment. He was found by Salt Lake City Police to have committed the offenses. Martinez pled not guilty to the charge. A pretrial conference was scheduled for March of 2026. Post-investigation showed through clear and convincing evidence that Martinez engaged in the electronic communication harassment. On December 3, 2025, Martinez waived his right to a hearing before the administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
So Martinez, or counsel present?
Yes, thank you. Cameron Platt, representing Mr. Martinez. He was planning on being here today. He had a medical emergency come up yesterday and is unable to make it today, unrelated to the action that you're considering today. So the actions that you're considering today stemmed from a divorce that obviously negatively affected Mr. Martinez and resulted in his repeated texting. His intent was to text his ex-wife a similar address to another person at her former work, resulted in somebody that he didn't know receiving the text. The end result is the harassment, we believe, was substantiated. There was a plea agreement worked out with the prosecutor, and they agreed to a diversion program. And so those are the facts before that. He was placed on administrative leave on April 1st. He immediately recognized that the divorce had affected him negatively and his actions, and he sought resources to allow him to deal with that. He's completed a couple of those resources, and I'm happy to answer questions or go into those. I would request that we go into closed session for that, just because it deals with the character, competence, physical or mental health of Mr. Martinez. He resigned from his employment after going through his resource programs, resigned on December 4th from the police department. He's been unemployed as a law enforcement officer since that time. He does continue to attend counseling and has found that to be helpful. He did also apologize to the subject of the communications through the prosecutor, not wanting to contact that individual and create further. He, you know, communicated his apology through the prosecutor's office. On a personal note, I know some of you know me, not many, but I personally worked with Officer Martinez for 15 years when I worked for Salt Lake City before I retired. He was my fellow officer, and I was his supervisor when I was a sergeant there. I just want you to let you know, anecdotally for me, this is not who he is. I think this is a one-off occurrence that was caused by just a very difficult divorce. He is one of the kindest people that I know, and he is one of the best officers that I ever worked with or supervised. And so this is not who he is, but he obviously committed the conduct, and he's responsible for the actions. We would just ask that you consider a one-year suspension, giving him credit from April 1st when he was placed on admin leave. As of today, that would be 351 days. So 1 year would be April 1st of this year. We obviously don't oppose the investigation's recommendation because he committed the conduct.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Mr. Martinez, Counselor, absent any of the referenced material about the competency? If we do want to ask questions about that, we probably need a motion for a closed session.
I was just going to ask about the dates.
Yeah, so we do have in our records an admin leave date of March 29th.
And that's for 2 or 3 days. Is not going to matter. I'm not going to argue
that. He was on leave that whole 9 months.
He was on leave from
the entire 9 months.
Until December 4th when he resigned, yes.
Thank you, Miley Lou, for bringing that up. Do we have any other questions for this counselor or for Post? Okay, we'll be looking for a motion.
I motion we accept Post's recommendation of 1.5 years from admin leave date, 329.
Okay. Thank you, Colonel Hawley. So the motion is for a 1.5 year suspension as recommended by Post, beginning on 3/29/25. Do we have a second for that motion?
I'll second.
Nate Mutter has a second for that motion. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Yeah, motion passes.
The next matter before the council is a certification of Alan Petty, the Provo Constable's Office, with 2 years of service. The offense was unlawful detention, a Category E. The baseline is 6 months, and Post is recommending 6 months. Alan Petty, a post-certified special functions officer with the Provo City Constable's Office, was criminally investigated for unlawful detention. He was later charged with the offense. During the court case, Petty was issued a court order which restricted him from possessing firearms. The court order was later dismissed, and Petty pled no contest to the charge of unlawful detention. Petty later resigned from the Provo City Constable's Office. Post was unable to prove through clear and convincing evidence that Petty committed unlawful detention. Additionally, at the time of the writing, Petty was not the subject of any court orders. Post was able to prove through clear and convincing evidence that he was convicted of the conduct which he pled no contest to. On February 26, 2026, Petty waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Thank you. Is Mr. Petty or counsel for Mr. Petty present?
Thank you for your time, guys. I appreciate y'all being here.
Would you please just state your name for the recording?
Alan Chase Petty, sir.
Go ahead. Thank you.
I just want to apologize for my actions, that, and then of my ex-wife. We're having relationship issues, and due to her, her mental illness, we were not able to work things out, and she went crazy. And on her behalf, my half, I just like to apologize. And I've always tried to... it's always been a dream of mine to be in law enforcement, and I'd like to try to continue to do so if I could. I have nothing else to say.
Thank you, sir. Any questions for Mr. Petty or for Post? And we'll be looking for a motion.
I'll make a motion to go with Post recommendation, 6 months. Are we starting January 13th? Or
it could be March 25th of 25.
March 25th, 25.
So we have a motion from Nate Mutter for to accept Post recommendation, 6 month suspension beginning on March 25th of 25. Do we have a second? Dr. Sween has a second. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? That motion passes.
Your list will indicate that Jacob Roth is next. Post agreed to a stipulation not to present that and move that to the next council. So the next matter before the council is a certification of Albert Saw with the Utah Department of Corrections and the Provo City Constable's Office. He had 1.75 years of service, and the offense was possession or use of a controlled substance, which is a Category D. The baseline was 1 year, and Post is recommending 1 year. The Utah Department of Corrections required Albert Saw to undergo a random drug test as part of departmental policy. The results showed that Saw had THC in his system. During a Garrity interview with UDC investigators, Saw admitted to using THC for sleep and recreational purposes. Knowing that he was violating both departmental policy and state law, Saw declined to participate in an interview with Post investigators. Saw failed to respond to the notice of agency action on December 10, 2025. An order of default was signed by the administrative law judge.
Thank you. Is Mr. Saw or counsel for Mr. Saw present? Appears not. Director Garcia is recusing himself in this matter. There are no questions. We're ready for a motion.
I'll make a motion.
Sheriff Wimmer?
I make a motion we accept Post's recommendation of a 1 year suspension from the date of termination.
Date of termination or from admin leave?
Go admin leave.
Thank you. So the motion is for a 1 year suspension beginning on 4/24 of 25. Do we have a second for that motion? David Peterson has a second. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you.
All right. The final matter before the council is a certification of Walker White from the Granite School District Police Department. He had 2 years of service, and the offense was tampering with evidence and unlawful taking of protected wildlife. The categories are a B and E. The baseline is 3 years. Post is recommending 3 years. Walker White was criminally investigated for a hunting violation and tampering with evidence. White and another hunter he was with had hunting permits for a spike bull elk. White admitted to shooting at the elk that was harvested by the other hunter. When White realized the bull was not a legal bull, he shot off a portion of the antler. White was charged by the county prosecutor with tampering with evidence and unlawful taking of protected wildlife. White pled guilty to both charges as part of a plea in abeyance. White was administratively investigated by his agency. White admitted to shooting at the elk and then later shooting a portion of its antler off. The internal investigation determined White engaged in criminal behavior. White resigned from his agency. White's statements during the Garrity interview with Post investigators were consistent with his statements during the criminal investigation and internal administrative investigation. There is clear and convincing evidence that White tampered with evidence and unlawfully took protected wildlife. On January 19, 2026, White waived his right to a hearing before the administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Thank you. It appears Mr. White and counsel for Mr. White's present.
Thank you. Lindsay Jarvis on behalf of Mr. White. I just wanted to give you a couple follow-up facts in regards to this case. Mr. White went on a hunting trip with his father-in-law, who was a very experienced hunter. This was Mr. White's second hunting trip. What the facts revealed is that the shot was taken from approximately 500 yards away. Again, there were multiple shots. Mr. White admits that he shot one of those. When they were able to pack over to where the animal was located, that's when they learned that what they shot was not something that they actually had the permit for. And so at that point in the moment, Mr. White panicked, and that's when he decided to shoot the antler off, which he obviously understood the second after he did it was not the right thing to do. As a result of that, he contacted his agency, let them know what had transpired. They conducted the Garrity interview from there. He immediately resigned. This incident actually took place back in October of 2024. And so he was not, he didn't get an opportunity to meet with Post until I believe it was December. So quite a significant period of time. In that process, he was able to retain counsel. This occurred in Millard County. He retained local counsel, obviously not understanding the ramifications of the plea in abeyance, but entered a guilty plea to the two charges as a plea in abeyance. Since that time, those charges have been dismissed. He's in the process of expunging that particular record, so that will no longer exist. At this point, he's been off for, I guess what we're looking at is, we're 15 months, 16 months. Again, I don't do math either. But what we're hoping for, this particular category, if you look at the Post guidelines, it can go anywhere from 1.5 up to the 3. So we're asking under the circumstances if Post counsel would consider that downward deviation from, rather than 3 years, going down to that 1.5 level, given the fact that he has tried to take care of this. He obviously, like I said, took full accountability for it. And so what he'd like to do is be able to get back in and start applying to try and get a job elsewhere. So,
I'm Walker White. Members of the council, thank you for the opportunity to speak. I want to begin by taking full responsibility for my actions. I'm not here to minimize or excuse what occurred. I understand the seriousness of the situation and the impact it has on the profession, on public trust, and on my credibility as a peace officer. Integrity is a fundamental to law enforcement. The public and the courts rely on officers to uphold the law and to act with honesty at all times, both on and off duty. In this situation, I failed to meet that expectation, and I take full responsibility for that failure. The most difficult part of this process has been confronting what that failure represents. Before entering law enforcement, I served in the United States Marine Corps. The Marine Corps instills 3 core values in each Marine: honor, courage, and commitment. Those values are meant to guide conduct in every environment, especially when decisions are hard and inconvenient. Honor requires honesty without exception, courage requires accepting consequences when you fall short, and commitment requires consistency between your values and your actions. In this incident, my actions did not align with those standards, and acknowledging that has been sobering and humbling. It has forced me to take a hard look at my judgment and decision-making. This experience has given me a deeper appreciation for the weight of the responsibilities we carry as peace officers. I've come to understand more clearly how every decision, even off-duty, reflects on the profession and affects public trust. Moving forward, I am committed to ensuring that my actions reflect the highest standards at all times and that I serve as a positive example for others in this profession. This incident was a serious lapse in judgment, and I understand that conduct involving dishonesty affects the credibility that law enforcement depends on. Since this occurred, I have spent a great deal of time reflecting on my actions and recommitting myself to the standard and to the standards expected of this profession. I want to return to law enforcement not because it is easy, but because serving the public is what I'm meant to do. I love the work, I love the responsibility, and I valued being part of something bigger than myself. Moving forward, my goal is to continue demonstrating through my actions that I understand the responsibility that comes with this profession and the importance of maintaining the highest ethical standards. I cannot undo what occurred. I can only accept responsibility and demonstrate through my conduct that I have learned from this experience and it will not be repeated. Thank you all for your time and your consideration.
Thank you, Mr. White. We have a question.
My question is for Ms. Jarvis. You mentioned that you said the moment that he did this, he realized it was wrong. So did your client self-report this, or was this reported by a third party?
So initially, it was reported to a DNR officer. And then DNR officer came and confronted us. And then after the whole conversation we had with him, the next morning, first thing in the morning when we woke up, I contacted my agency about the incident.
Understand that. So, who reported it to DNR is the question.
Yeah, so by the time they got over there to where the animal was located, what had happened
was he shot at that point. Then they had to get back, so they left the animal there. And in the meantime, DNR had saw what had happened. So DNR was able to locate him and his father-in-law at that same location where they had packed back to, and that's when the So they hadn't had an opportunity to. It was a conversation that occurred at the area, based upon what the DNR observed.
So what I'm trying to get at is it wasn't a self-report.
This, I don't know how you want to answer it.
It was observed by another hunter who reported it to DNR, and that's where they were contacted.
And they were on their way back to make their report.
So. Any other questions? For Mr. White or for Post? Nate?
Technical question, not being a hunter. If he shoots at an animal he wasn't supposed to, what is that a violation in and of itself?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So a taking of an animal is either the attempted shot or the actual shot. So shooting at it is the attempt itself is what was considered the unlawful taking.
And that's what that Class B is.
What you're shooting at, basically.
It's a good idea.
Great. I'd imagine.
But have a good scope at 500 yards. Right.
Any other questions? Okay, then we'll be entertaining a motion.
I'll make a motion to accept Post recommendation effective the date of separation 11-6-2020.
Thank you, Mr. Peterson. So we have a motion to accept Post recommendation of a 3-year suspension beginning 11-6th of 24. Do we have a second on the motion?
I'll second.
Director Garcia seconds the motion. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Thank you. That passes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Again, my thanks to all the Post investigators. Great work. To the attorneys, Mr. Price, thank you. Next item on our agenda, Director Reese.
Thank you. I'll try to be brief. I'm sure you guys are ready to wrap up. Before I get into these items, I do want to thank the council for the serious consideration you take on each of these actions. Before I took this position, dealing with the discipline, I think, was one of the toughest spots of the director, and I was relieved to discover that you bear the responsibility of issuing out the punishment. But I never want to discourage you from discussing and taking these serious. I think it's critical on the integrity of this process with the officers and the public. So, Dr. Sween, don't ever feel bad about bringing something up and discussing it. And I also want, just so you know the process, the Post investigators put a lot of time. We would love to not make a recommendation. It would be much easier on us, but we know that helps the process and smooths it out. And what happens is the investigators spent a lot of time researching, looking at the matrix, looking at what we've done in the past, what you've done in the past, and to make a good recommendation. I stay out of that process and take a second look, and you are the third and final look. So we do our best to give you something that's in line with the guidelines, and I would emphasize it is a guidelines, and there's some measure of consistency, but I would say absolute consistency is not justice. And we trust your opinion, and it's wide. The council is formed the way it is to cover those perspectives. And I appreciate that. So thank you. A couple items on, I just needed to run by you. And one, I needed your consent on a modification I'd like to make regarding the radar, LIDAR, and NTOC certification graduation requirement. This came up about a year ago. The radar and those certifications are something that typically happen at the last week of the academy. The problem with that is that if we have a candidate that doesn't pass, that they've got their graduation scheduled shortly. You executives and their families are planning on attending, and our policy has been if they don't pass every little part, we wouldn't let them walk. I got feedback from executives that was very inconvenient, especially when we had confidence that when they took the remedial, we were confident they were going to pass in another week. And we tried adapting the timing of the test to move it a little earlier to give them time to remediate. But then we found what happened is they knew they were done with the academy, and it was hard to keep their attention during that last week. Most of the time, these are cadets that have done well in all the other areas, and they're going to pass. So what we're proposing is allowing them to still walk, and then that, you know, they're basically passing these specific tests will not prohibit them from attending graduation. It would, you know, it's typically just extend their certificate by a couple of weeks. And then that would be up to you and your agencies if you wanted to give that, you know, that grace period to them. I'm interested in your feedback and your thoughts. If you have concerns, if you'd be acceptable to us changing that policy, I would like to hear that.
Yes. Question on, I guess, the logistics. They graduate, and then agency and them, we would have to coordinate with you to retest, or is that pre-planned and...
Typically what's happened when we've had a few of those situations, I would say it's on the cadet to get it done, but we would be in communication with you, making sure it happens. So typically they'd be trying to get that done during their onboarding process with you, kind of their typical time. I think for most agencies, they leave here, and there's a lot of onboarding going on by the agency, and they've got to get this taken care of, and it's a matter of a couple weeks. Yes, ma'am.
I know in public ed, that's not allowed. I also, and I don't know, Dr. Sweeney, you can correct me, but on the university level, is that allowed to walk and come back? My understanding was it wasn't on the university level. And my experience comes from standing in a line and watching administrators from the admin office and universities coming to the line and pulling kids out and then finding their parents or audience comers. I mean, that was difficult to have to watch and observe, but I don't know what universities are doing right now. I work for them part-time, so I don't attend graduations.
Yeah, I was going to chime in. Just, we have a lot of students that walk and are maybe not graduated because they didn't know that their grades hadn't posted yet. I've been in that situation where it's a little bit awkward to shake hands and such. But they know basically the diploma is not ushered until all of the curriculum is completed. And I think that's what Director Reese is trying to propose, right? Is like you can go through the formalities of the ceremony itself, but not get the certification until you pass that all, correct?
Yes, but I think you bring up a very good point. And I really,
like what we're doing with curriculum or anything, I'd really like being consistent with academia. So that the question is there. I'm really interested in your thoughts.
Let me comment on that. The difference in this situation is that an intoxicizer certification is not required for a law enforcement certification. There's lots of officers that do not have it. I don't have one. Do you have one? I have it for years, right? So, and it's something easily attainable while you're at your home agency. It's not required to be a certified officer.
That's just an absolute. What I was going to say is we're putting people through with a certification that they may not ever be in a situation where they're actually running radar, LIDAR, intoxicizer. They may be assigned to a court. They may be assigned to somewhere else that they actually don't do that. So. Just that was one of our factors. It's just a thought.
So it's not a requirement of graduation?
It's a requirement of graduation, but if they're never using it, we have many, you know, majority of officers out there may not maintain that certification.
I think it's also instructive to
remember that the graduation ceremony is just a ceremony, right? There's no legal implication to that. What we do legally comes from the issuance of a certification and being sworn by an agency, right? So the walking in a graduation is truly just ceremonial.
Yes.
Because I haven't had either one of them for 20 years, maybe. Why is that a requirement of graduation?
Overall, it's part of the curriculum, and the rules are that you pass everything in the curriculum. And I think, as I pondered that too, I think that has been the practice of POST for the longest time. And I think most agencies are expecting that when you graduate from LEO, you're coming with that package. So but there's definitely positions that's debatable and that could be discussed. But right now, that's the simple part. The simple answer is you pass everything to graduate. And it would be a little bit hard to administer the academy to let them do a la carte. Well, my agency doesn't use this.
Yeah, overall, I'm in support of this because I think it's, you know, it's an academic structure that we utilize as well. You know, like, you're not going to get your diploma until you fulfill the curriculum. You're not going to usher the certificate until you finish the curriculum as well. I think the ceremonial process is important for family and friends, so you wouldn't want this last thing to kind of hold them up. So as long as they're going to still get it if it's necessary for their employment, I support it.
So are you looking for a motion and a vote in support, or are you good with
it on this one? Do I need a vote on this one, or is it just your consultation? Okay, so we're going in the right direction, it sounds like.
I believe so. Yep.
Thank you. The next issue is a change in an update or a change in admin rule. And regarding rule R714-500-2 or -3, it's in your pamphlet, and the majority of it is some cleanup in language and such, but the important part is we've discovered through our SMEs regarding INTOC certification that national best practice certification organizations nationally are now moving into a 2-year recert instead of a 3-year. So our officers in their INTOC certification, in order to maintain that, have had to re-up that every 3 years, and now it's being moved to 2 years. So we're addressing that 2-year recertification. Also, the rule had required prior that if you had expired, you would have to go through the whole class again. And we want to change that to where once you've done the class, as long as you pass the recertification test, you can be recertified without taking the whole class again. We found it is very time intensive for organizations, and somebody maybe goes into investigations for a while and they're not needing their INTOC certification, but now we've got to send them to a long class to get that recertified back up when they come out. And it's just not efficient, and it's not where we'd like to institute. Once you've had the basic class, the basic certification, and if you need to re-up, whether you're expired or not, if you can pass the test, the recertification test, within 2 attempts, then you'll get recertified. If you can't pass, if you fail twice, then you've got to go back to the class. So on a rule change, do I need to go?
No, that's it.
Great. So again, consultation on this one. I want your feedback.
I support that.
And we're doing similar with radar certifications also. I mean, if I was running a for-profit business, I would keep that in there, but I'm not.
I've got a technical question on it. So all the certifications issued up until this becomes active would be 3 years, and then once this becomes enacted, it would be 2 years after that?
Yes.
Okay.
Anybody have any concerns about that? Looks like you have the council support.
Thanks again. It really helps me out. Makes my job easier. And then the other only thing is just advising you. Last year we discussed post-application fee of $35. We now have the system in place to start doing that, and we're planning on starting to charge that April 1st. Despite Director Garcia being mad at me about it. So that's just for a heads up.
And I think we need to, I think we're ready to schedule a day and time for the next meeting. And while I have the mic, I'll just say we do have lunch for you all here. And hopefully that helps save you some time during your next meeting.
Can I ask a quick question? It's probably for legal, but a couple of years ago, Post got grammar requested by a self-proclaimed news agency that wanted all information for every single sworn officer in the state through Post. We filled that. That went to the Records Committee, and they ordered Post to do that. Since that time, last legislative session, the Records Committee has been abolished. There is no more Records Committee. Is Post still getting those grammar requests for every single sworn officer? And if so, are we still honoring that?
I think that
that would have been the one that done on that grammar request. So the state, the government records office director is still considering and taking a lot of the previous SRC decisions, but he is not bound by them, I don't think per se, but he does give them some deference as to what happened.
Thank you.
So next meeting.
Next meeting.
Generally, we meet some in June. So I'll just throw out a day to get us started. How about June the 10th, which is a Wednesday?
Yes.
I have one yes. Yes. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Anybody have a problem with we meet next on June the 10th at 10 a.m.?
All in favor, say aye.
Okay, we can move it. 17th? Or how long are you at the guard?
Just that first 2 weeks.
So will you be available on the 17th? June 17th, which is also a Wednesday. Does Wednesday work? Wednesday, June 17th. Going once, going twice. Okay, 10 a.m. on the 17th. I just want to thank all of the Post Council members and the Post staff for all the work. This is important stuff that we do, and it's an honor and a privilege for me to work with all of you. So appreciate all that you do, and we'll take a motion to adjourn and be adjourned. Thank you.